We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
You know, it feels like the world could end at any second all the time now. Like we're the loudmouth in a horror movie, and you know it's coming. You just don't know when. Well, if you do, this isn't going to make you feel any better. This morning in Chicago, they gave the annual update on the doomsday clock. This is the clock that's supposed to tell us how close we are to the end of human life on planet Earth. It's not a fun clock. It's not like the kind of clock Flavor Flav would wear jauntily around his neck. It's a death clock. They had the yearly unveiling of the death clock today, and this is where we stand apocalypse-wise.
Today, the members of the Science and Security Board find the world to be no safer than it was last year at this time, and therefore have decided to set the doomsday clock at 100 seconds to midnight.
It's kind of good that it's still where it was last year, right? I guess we should be happy we're only 100 seconds to midnight. With all that's going on, with COVID and inflation, democracy on the verge of collapse.
Seems like almost every day we get new details about the threat to our democracy posed by Trump and his cronies as they plotted to overturn the 2020 election. So naturally, Fox News has been laser-focused on the issues that matter most to Americans.
The maker of M&M's is giving the candy a woke makeover. M&M's characters will be redesigned for a more progressive world.
The parent company of M&M's causing quite the stir after announcing their candy mascots will be getting an quote-unquote inclusive woke makeover.
The green M&M, you will notice, is no longer wearing sexy boots. Now she's wearing sensible sneakers. Why the change? Well, according to M&M's, quote, "We all win when we see more women in leading roles, because leading women do not wear sexy boots. Leading women wear frumpy shoes. The frumpier, the better. That's the rule." The brown M&M has, quote, "transitioned from high stilettos to lower block heels. Also less sexy. That's progress. M&Ms will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is deeply unappealing and totally androgynous. Until the moment you wouldn't want to have a drink with any one of them. That's the goal. When you're totally turned off, we've achieved equity. They've won."
This used to be a country where you could get aroused by candy, where you, a hot-blooded youth, could be watching TV with your girlfriend, and the green M&M would come on screen with her full lips and her tantalizing white boots, and you'd have to excuse yourself to take a cold shower or go for a long bike ride, and the next morning, your girlfriend would say, "Are you okay? You seem distant." And you wouldn't have the heart to tell her that you were distant because you no longer felt any attraction to her dull, flesh-colored human face. As you now realized a truth that is self-evident, pure sexuality comes in a green, button-shaped package with an alluring candy shell. So instead, You'd say everything's fine, sweetie, and you'd drive to work, but you'd stop at the convenience store to buy a paper, you would tell yourself. But once inside, you'd also grab a bag of candy, and you'd walk to the register, praying that bag wouldn't slip out of your sweat-soaked palms. And when you paid, hand shaking and breath quick, the cashier would look at you and give you a knowing nod, because as an American man, he understood what you wanted. To a piece of candy. But I'm sorry to say, we don't live in that country anymore.
But I guess that's 2022, right? Women will probably lose the right to an abortion. But on the plus side, the green M&M gets to wear comfortable shoes. Hakuna Matata. Oh, and they're not just updating the green M&M and the brown one. No, the red M&M is going to be less bossy, and the orange M&M will embrace his anxiety. Which, I mean, I guess that makes sense. You should be anxious if you're about to get eaten.
In some ways, I get it. I mean, why do M&Ms even have body parts? It doesn't make sense for these characters to be inclusive. They're 70 years old. How many 70-year-olds do you know who are inclusive? I don't know any. So the company that makes M&Ms say most of the changes are reflected in the shoes that the characters wear, which they suggested is representative of their customers and a cue people really pick up on. This is, by the way, what happens when you sell the same little chocolate Advil for 70 years. You start to hallucinate. You start to think your customers, who are five, by the way, pick up on shoe-related cues. But it's hardly something to get mad about. But that's what these guys do. They get mad about stuff on television. The world of right-wing outrage is very outraged on this subject. And so joining us now from the show Triggered Much is a conservative YouTuber named Ken Reynolds. Ken, thank you for being with us. Now, I see you have some stuff there. Explain to us, please, why these new M&Ms have you so upset.
I'm upset because I see what's happening to our country, okay? This is just a new low from the virtue-signaling liberal left. These woke jokers are coming for the last bastion of American innocence, our candy.
All right, well, that seems a little much, but I don't think they're attacking candy.
Yes, they are. You Susie Snowflakes have your sights set on my beautiful, hard-shelled goddess, the green M&M.
Well, you're what? Your hard-shelled goddess?
Yeah, that's right. Look, hey, Jerry, can you pull up that picture that I emailed you? I think search green M&M. It's a JPEG. Is it there? No? Nothing? Okay, search daddy's boner fuel, no apostrophe, then it might come up as... There it is. Okay, there she is.
Uh-huh.
Look at my baby before they wokeified her, Jimmy. I mean, look at that, her silky smooth flesh, those thigh-high naughty boots,
uh-huh.
That look that says, I want you, Ken. Come let me melt in your mouth, or in your hand if you're not ready for mouth stuff.
Ken?
Huh?
Ken, are you saying you're sexually aroused by candy?
Are you saying you're not?
I'm all for progress, but how are we supposed to know which anthropomorphized airport candy we want to do sex on? At this point, the only erotic candy mascots left are the Three Musketeers, or as they're known in France, Ménage à Nougat. Either way, I'm glad they focused on the Lady M&M's footwear, because it's an important reminder that at one point in the manufacturing process, all M&M's had legs. All right, almost ready for the bag. Let me just tear off your limbs. Oh! Oh! It's a dark image, admittedly. According to the president of Mars Wrigley, the updates keep the M&M characters more representative of our consumer. That's great. Every American's dream is to one day eat a food that looks exactly like them.
But I'm not gonna melt in your hand. I'm gonna melt in your mouth.
So that's what Fox News was focused on as the rest of us digested the news that Trump and his cronies had crafted a plan to seize voting machines, a plan that was apparently so advanced they'd written up a draft executive order that involved the military.
The January 6th committee now has access to a trove of Donald Trump's White House records. Among them, according to Politico, a draft executive order to seize voting machines and keep him in office.
Do you have proof that there was someone inside the United States military working on this premise of actually seizing voting machines?
Well, we have information that between the Department of Justice, a plan was put forth to potentially seize voting machines in the country and utilize Department of Defense assets to make that happen.
Well, it's not clear who wrote the document. Trump himself has been ruled out because there was no dipping sauce on any of the pages, but this order that the military would seize the machines and then would have created a special counsel to look into Trump's false allegations to see if there was any way to make them true allegations. It was a last-ditch effort to keep Trump in power. A Sig Hail Mary, if you will.
I'm not often shocked by Trump's antics anymore, but I have to say, this strikes me as a pretty big deal. It's one thing to have a meeting with a bunch of crazy people like Rudy or the pillow lunatic or that lawyer who looks like she kidnapped 101 Dalmatians, only to find out later they were actually just three poodles who'd been spray-painted. What is the meaning of this? But it's another thing to get a bunch of high-level government officials involved and draft an actual plan. And sometimes I feel like we're going to be hearing revelations like this one for the rest of our lives. Someday I'll be sitting in a nursing home looking out the window at my favorite tree, and a nurse will come in and say, did you hear? Trump was training an army of rats to chew the wires out of voting machines. And according to Politico, whoever wrote this executive order had access to sensitive government information that was not publicly known. The draft order cited two classified documents. The fact that the draft author knew about the existence of the documents suggests that they had access to information about sensitive government secrets. Wow, so it could have been a high-level government executive, or a general, or literally anybody at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was pretty loose with the top-secret information. I'm sure at least once he interrupted a wedding just to read aloud from the X-Files, you may kiss the bride in just a second, but first I think you're going to want to hear what went down at Roswell. So whoever wrote this executive order was presumably someone who had access to government secrets, which is pretty crazy. This time, we just happened to get lucky, since Trump is too dumb to get his way and a bunch of people stopped him by threatening to quit. But what happens next time a Republican politician wants to use the military to stay in power? Are we just supposed to hope they get distracted by an M&M commercial?
But I'm not going to melt in your hand. I'm going to melt in your mouth.
I want the military to seize voting machines and impose martial law. And wait a second, who is that angelic creature? No, wait. Never mind. She's wearing flaps. Back to treason. And I would just like to point out to all the people who thought calling Trump's plan an attempted coup was hysterical, this latest executive order is just more proof that the threat was very real. Sure, the various schemes were easy to dismiss at the time because the people advocating for them were known weirdos, but it turns out Trump was actually listening to them.
One of the president's visitors today, Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, was seen over here at the White House outside the West Wing. A White House official did tell me, Wolf, that it is believed that the president and Lindell met.
A Washington Post photographer got a close-up of the notes that he was carrying with him. And, Jake, when you zoom in on them, you can see that he is talking about the election. Things like martial law are mentioned. The words taken immediately to save the Constitution.
The guy from MyPillow is carrying documents and talking to President Trump, presumably, about declaring martial law.
And it's easy to laugh it off and say he was never going to listen to the MyPillow guy, but he invited him over for non-pillow reasons, it should be noted. I mean, if I said I'm never going to take advice from Mike Lindell, you don't believe me. But if I also said, and I told him that much at dinner last night, you might think, wait, what? For all we know, they took Lindell's notes and turned them into an executive order, too, in which case it would be the first executive order that used a promo code. Enter the promo code Sweet Dreams, and you won't just save the Constitution, you'll save an additional 30%.
We will not take it anymore.
Sedition.
Sedition. Sedition.
Huh? Look it up.
Sedition.
Girl.
Sedition.
We had an election that was stolen.
Sedition.
This is yet more proof, as we've said many times, that you can be both incredibly dumb and incredibly dangerous at the same time. For example, Trump's cronies also had a plan in place at roughly the same time to forge fake certificates from Trump electors in seven states Trump lost. And of course, and I guess thank God, they put their dumbest henchmen in charge.
We have breaking news on efforts from the former president's allies to undermine the 2020 election results. Now, according to sources with direct knowledge of the scheme, Trump campaign officials, led by Rudy Giuliani, oversaw efforts to put forward illegitimate electors from seven states that the former president actually lost.
It was basically Rudy Giuliani and all these other misfits leading the charge of this plot, intricately involved in these efforts in December of 2020, to put forward fake electors from seven states that Trump lost. That was a major part of this overall plan by Team Trump to overturn the 2020 election results back when Congress counted the electoral votes on January 6th. So the point was to have Vice President Pence accept these fake Trump electors rather than the valid Biden ones. One source said there were several calls between Trump campaign officials and state GOP operatives to round up fake electors on a state-by-state level.
Rudy Giuliani rounding up electors is like an Ocean's 11 where everyone's skill was being bat crazy.
This is Nancy from Phoenix. When it comes to being a crazy, she's got us covered. This is Frank from Tempe. When you need crazy, he's your guy. Patricia's from Scottsdale. She's like an expert safecracker. But instead of cracking safes, she's being crazy.
Trump and his team tried every path they could possibly think of to overturn the results of the election, and they came very close to pulling it off. These are the kinds of schemes they're cooking up when they're not at home, late at night, fantasizing about M&Ms.
But I'm not going to melt in your hand. I'm going to melt in your mouth.
While resting their heads on their
pillow.
Today marks 1 year since President Biden was sworn into office, and it's also the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump skipping his inauguration like it was... Like it was Don Jr.'s birthday party or something. And 1 year ago today, Donald and Melania Trump boarded Air Force One to fly home to Florida, and that was the last time they saw each other. A lot of people are disappointed with President Biden. His approval rating reached a new low after his press conference yesterday. The press conference was a success in that he went nearly 2 hours without having to pee, but otherwise it wasn't great. Donald Trump was, of course, watching. He can't tweet anymore. He's in timeout, so he was forced to put out one of those statements he puts out. And this is the statement from Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States of America. He wrote, "How come Biden picks a reporter off a list, in all cases softball questions, and then reads the answer? I would never have been allowed to get away with that, nor would I have to." So he released this while Biden was in the middle of the press conference. He really is the world's craziest ex. I mean, basically, Biden's Pete Davidson, America is Kim Kardashian, and Trump is a chubby orange Kanye. But, and the idea that this, I never would have been allowed to get away with it. He got away with everything. He sharpied his own weather on a map, okay? There's nothing he didn't get away with. But now he's just another old man in Florida complaining about things he sees on TV. I would like him to make a statement about everything he sees on TV. For instance, if your favorite and beloved president had not been persecuted and treated very badly after the sham election, SpongeBob would live in a big, beautiful, and huge pineapple on the land. Land is better. Sea is wet. Sad. The bobbleheads over at Fox News had a lot of fun with Biden's press conference yesterday. Here's the comedy team of Hannity and Ingram with their in-depth and unbiased analysis of when Biden met the press.
It was a nightmare. Oh, my God. It was about the worst as I can remember from a president, frankly.
I honestly, as an American, and I don't say this with any joy, I felt embarrassed. It's humiliating.
That is what made you embarrassed? That's the worst you can remember?
And a lot of people online are dunking on the reporter, saying that he deserved this because he's just some Fox News guy asking a dumb question. And they're right. You know, do you think inflation is a political liability is a very stupid question. I mean, what's Biden supposed to say? No, I think people like spending more money to buy the same shit. I mean, if you get to ask the president a question, you should ask him real questions, like, why can't the CDC get its messaging straight on COVID? Or can you ask your dog to stop chewing my arm? And because of this moment, there are many people who are saying that this shows that Biden and Trump treat the press with the same level of animosity. And I'm sorry, guys. No, I can't accept that. I cannot believe that people would even say something so disrespectful about my man, Donald Jiu-Jitsu Trump. First of all, he wouldn't mumble that into a hot mic. Yo, he would scream that to your face. He'd be like, get that son of a bitch out of here. So rude, so rude. My crimes are my business. Biden dropped one offhanded diss on a reporter. He's no legend. Attacking the press was Donald Trump's whole thing. You remember that guy?
I guess maybe you forgot about this.
What do you say to Americans who are watching you right now who are scared?
I say that you're a terrible reporter. This sleazy guy right over here from ABC, he's a sleaze in my book. You're a sleaze.
You should say congratulations, great job, instead of being so horrid in the way you ask a question. You should be thanking them for what they've done, not always asking wise guy questions.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
Stupid, stupid question. Stupid question.
You don't have the brains you were born with.
I'm not thinking, Mr.
That's
President.
Okay, I know you're not thinking. You never do.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
Did you hear me?
What did you want?
Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Ask him a question. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
Don't be attacking
him. You are a rude, terrible person.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
No. You're a third-rate reporter.
A question like that is just fake news. You're just a faker.
You are the enemy of the people.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
Quiet, quiet,
among
quiet.
Us.
Sit down, sit down,
sit down,
sit down,
sit down.
Look, let me tell you something. Be nice.
The big story, the big sort of media story is Joe Biden being caught on a hot mic saying this to a reporter who is from Fox and was asking about inflation. Let's listen.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
And now Fox and Friends response to President Biden calling Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, I thought that was a reasonable question.
Did seem pretty personal in that kind of attack, or use at least by using those words. It almost looks like the polls are starting to get to him because he looks a little rattled. He should have known better.
And now Fox and Friends response to the former president calling Jim Acosta a fake reporter, Matt Bai a dummy, Dean Baquet one of the dumbest men in the world of journalism, Lisa Belkin a lowlife, Carl Bernstein a man who lives in the past and thinks like a degenerate fool, David Brooks a clown, Frank Bruni a dope, Mika Brzezinski a ditzy airhead, Allison Camerata a disaster, Graydon Carter grubby. And the press, the enemy of the people.
Not embarrassing at all. That's being best. And meanwhile, the legal woes for Trump are piling up. I mentioned last night the attorney general in New York says she has evidence that the Trump organization engaged in a pattern of deception. And today we learned that the DA in Fulton County, Georgia, has requested a special grand jury to look into his post-election shenanigans there. On top of that, Supreme Court cleared the way for the special committee that's looking into the insurrection to review 700 pages of documents Trump wanted kept secret. And we got an update from Congress today on what Trump was doing behind closed doors in the lead up to January 6th. According to his former press secretary, Trump held secret off-the-book meetings in the White House residence in the part of the house where he lives. Stephanie Grisham said the attendees at these secret meetings were brought in by the White House usher, a man named Timothy Harleth, and they were not entered into the official record, which could mean that Timothy Harleth would be subpoenaed by the committee, which would be a big deal for a guy whose only job at the White House seemed to be, based on what comes up on Google Images when you search his name, picking the White House Christmas tree. You could see he's here making sure the tree is green. Getting some input from the locals, and then he picked the winner and gave it a little American bow. There is one other photo of Timothy online. He's lighting a candle at the most embarrassing White House meal of all time, but that could be the guy who brings Trump down. Timothy, a soldier in the war on Christmas, could be the guy to do this. Trump is bigly upset right now because the House wants to chat with his daughter, Ivanka, to hear what she knows about the insurrection. Trump did an interview with the Washington Examiner. He blasted that decision. He said they're using these things to try and get people's minds off how incompetently our country is being run, and they don't care. They'll go after children. He knows Ivanka is 40, right? I mean, I know he missed a lot of birthdays, but he's got to. You can't. You really. You can't call them children and also put them in charge of peace in the Middle East. It's one or the other. This I thought was interesting. Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, said Trump told him if it ever came down to Ivanka or Don Jr. going to jail, make sure it was Don Jr. He would do better in there. If you're ranking how well your children would do in prison, maybe time to sell the family business. I don't know.
Ah!
thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du and Randy Rainbow. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, Tucker Carlson, Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert, Katie Turr, Margaret Brennan, Jake Tapper, Anderson Cooper, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Donald Trump, Brianna Keeler, Peter Doocy, Joe Biden, Steve Doocy, and Inslee Earhart.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.